All right, let's first take a moment of silent prayer. Give us a chance to privately confess our sins, to lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us, a chance to put aside our problems and concerns so we can concentrate on what the Word of God has today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to gather together and look at your word. Please take these things and teach them to us, make them a source of challenge and blessing to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We started off saying Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and exist. And this is the only place that we can find our purpose is by putting him first. Remember Colossians 1:18, that he himself, this is Jesus Christ, that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Okay, and that's what it comes down to. Realizing that God created you, your looks, your personality, your background, your physical characteristics, your environment, your parents, the time and place of your birth, all of these things, when you realize that he did all this, okay, you have to realize that he has a specific plan for you. All the things that have happened before, okay, go into what his plan is. They all figure in, okay? And last time we looked at guilt, we talked about this principle of from Philippians 3:13 is saying forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. It's a question of putting those things behind you because we have a God who specializes in forgiveness. He's the God of fresh starts. Okay, Psalm 32:1, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Okay, it's a great way to look at the past mistakes you've made. Listen, they're forgiven. They're in the past. Forget what lies behind. Reach forward to what lies ahead. So, when God doesn't hold something against you, okay, why are you going to hold something against yourself? All right. Well, next, what we're going to look at today is this principle of anger. Okay, because anger or even just a little bit of resentment, okay, is something that will drive you away from God's plan because you cannot be angry and resentful and accomplish God's plan all at the same time. Now, anger, I always say, this probably shouldn't say this and record it. Okay, a lot of times I get mad, but, nobody really knows I'm mad. I like to just clam up. My tendency is to, be quiet and not say anything, just kind of drift off by myself and hold it inside. I know somebody, I got a friend of mine that, when something doesn't go his way, you better look out. Okay? Because he's going to explode. Right? But there really is no difference. Okay, as far as accomplishing God's will, it really doesn't matter whether you're a keep it inside, okay, or an exploder. Okay, because you're still angry. Just to look at this, let's go look real quick at Mark 3. Give you a little head start. But there is an anger that's not sinful. Okay? This is the most common word for anger in the Bible is the word orge, O-R-G-E. Okay? And it means anger. That's translated anger. Okay? But anger, you have to look at, anger can be either objective or subjective. Okay? And if it's objective anger, you're mad about something, you're angry about something related to a principle. Okay, if it's subjective, you're angry, about yourself, about something that's happened to you, about something somebody's done to you. Okay, but objective anger is a kind of a, an objective evaluation of something related to the truth. Okay, the reason I want to, we got to be careful about this is because you have to look at it, Mark 3:5. Okay, they're all out to trick Jesus into doing some work on the Sabbath. Hey, they're all thinking, oh, well, you're going to heal this guy on the Sabbath. So in Mark 3:5, it says, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Okay, so what we're saying here, all anger is not sinful. Okay, listen, Jesus got mad and turned over the tables in the temple, right? Okay, well, his anger was objective. It's an anger related to a principle. Okay, in this case, it was an evaluation of their attitude, of their hardness of heart. Okay, it made him angry. Ephesians 5:6, I like too. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of obedience." That word wrath is orge, anger. Okay, so God gets angry at the empty words. Okay, so that's a different thing. You know, we've talked about this principle before. You know, one of my little pet peeves. Let's say if somebody says that, "Oh yeah, well, you know, I believe. All you have to do is believe, but to keep that salvation, you've got to continue to do so and so. You've got to do some work. You got to have some works to prove it. You know, and if you don't have some works, then you're not really saved." Well, you know, that principle, when I hear people say that, okay, it makes me mad. Okay, that's anger related to a principle. That's okay. Jesus got angry like that. Okay, but subjective anger is always related to something somebody's done to you, something somebody, you know, didn't do for you. Okay, some problem, and that's where the problem comes in. Go to Ephesians 4. You know, and the difference, you know, in my example, I love it. If you say, you know, "It makes me mad when this person says, 'Oh, well, yeah, believing's okay, but you also have to add some works.'" Well, that, you know, that makes me mad. Well, the temptation is for me to take that anger and say, that idiot, that fool, okay, I cannot believe he would say that. Okay, and turn it into something that's angry at the person. Okay, but anyway, Ephesians 4:26. It says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." See, there's where the danger is when you get angry and hold it in. Yeah, that's one thing, and I'm sure you've all heard it. You know, my dad told me before I got married, he goes, "Oh, there's one thing you never want to do." Everybody know where I'm going, right? Okay, never go to sleep mad at each other. Right? Because that's what you're doing. You're holding on to it. Now I know where he got it, so it makes it even better advice. Because I always think, well, there's some things that just have to carry over. Okay, no, the Bible says no, they're not. Okay, don't go to sleep angry. Don't go to bed mad. Okay, the first word there is orge. Okay, the second word, "Don't let the sun go down on your anger," is paragismos. Okay, it's a mental attitude sin. It's a selfish, subjective anger. Okay, so it's an acute anger. Listen, here's what you got to do. If you ever start feeling angry, you need to take a step back and say, okay, now, am I angry related to a principle of right and wrong, or am I angry at a person because things didn't go my way, so to speak? Okay, or am I angry at this person for what they did? Does your anger carry over? Okay, if it does, and if you're angry with a person about something, hey, it's probably the paragismos, the sinful one. Okay, not the anger that Jesus had. Okay, and listen, do you know anybody like that? Okay, do you know anybody that's mad, that's angry? And hey, I got a friend of mine, and you know, when somebody does something to him, okay, or somebody doesn't treat him exactly the way he thinks he ought to be treated, okay, run. All right, this is a person I hope I never cross. Okay, and never have so far, and you know, always will do anything for me. Nice guy, but you know, listen, he's got a tendency towards this paragismos. Okay, and I can see it. You know, it's like, well, you know, he did this, but you know what? If sometimes he'll explode, and sometimes he'll say, "That's all right, his time's coming, I'll get him." Okay, well, listen, he's angry at a person because of something subjective. Okay. And it's holding over. Ephesians 4:31. Just a few verses down. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Okay? All right, listen, this is thumos, the manifestation of this subjective anger. It's that, we've all felt it. Okay. So you know, if you've ever been in a relationship or you've never been mad at your parents, I'm sure. Okay, you know, I've never been mad at a spouse or never been mad at my children. Okay? Yeah. Okay? You know what it is. And you see, put all these aside, along with the resulting malice, it says. Okay? Because listen, when you get angry, okay, that's where you're going. Okay? Because your next thought when you're angry, help me with this. Okay, if I'm mad at Mary Michael, okay, thank goodness she's not here today, right? Okay, listen, if I'm mad at Mary Michael, I'm not just going to sit and stew. I'm going to sit and plot. Okay, because her time's coming. Okay, listen, she wants to do it. Listen, I'm going to get her back. I never get mad at Mary Michael, so this is a bad example. As far as you all know. Okay? As far as what we're going to tell her. All right. Listen, pretty soon, okay, with you hold on to that anger, okay, it turns into a plot. I'm going to get revenge. All right, go to Romans 12. This my wife's favorite new show is. Anybody? Revenge. I said, I can't. Honey, I cannot watch this soap opera. The whole premise of the show is wrong. Okay, it's all based on her getting revenge. I'm like, she needs to learn this verse. Okay. Romans 12, 17. Says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. That word just kills me. Never. Okay. 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, looking at this and looking at the original Greek language where he does this, you remember if has all these different terms. It could be if and it's true, if and it's not true. Okay, if and it might be true and it might not true, like in if we confess our sins, that might be true and it might not. Okay, or it could be if and you have to assume it for the sake of argument. Well, this is what's called a first class conditional. Okay, so if it says, if possible, okay, it means it is possible. If possible, so far as it depends on you or as far as it relates to you, be at peace with all men. Okay, now listen, this verse has another sort of meaning. Okay, because listen, if you think about this from a human point of view, okay, there are people that you cannot be at peace with. Okay, there are people out there who are angry at you, who don't like you, okay, who are mean or whatever, okay, who have some kind of grudge against you. Okay, well, how does this verse apply to that? Okay, this peace it's talking about is your peace. Okay, listen, if possible, and it is possible, okay, as far as it relates to your own soul, be at peace with all men. Hey, you know what? This person's got a grudge against me. This person is out to get me. Okay, but you know what? The Bible says, be at peace with all men. Listen, you know, never pay back evil for evil. I don't care what that person does. I'm not paying back evil for evil. Okay, the only thing you can deal with is yourself. Okay, this doesn't mean don't try and be at peace, because you should try and be at peace with all men. Okay, but you can't, except as it relates to your own soul. Okay, that's the trick to that verse. Going on, verse 19. This is the one I'm sending to ABC. Never. What's that word again? Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. All right, so if you've been done wrong, okay, when you've been done wrong, okay, when you come home, when you come home from work from a hard day, okay, and your wife does not treat you the way she's supposed to treat you. I love it when Mary Michael's gone. Okay, there's no martini waiting. My slippers are all the way back in the bedroom. I mean, come on. Okay, listen, never take your own revenge. Let God deal with it. Okay? The Bible's crystal clear. Vengeance is mine. Okay? Don't take that away from him. You remember when we looked at this verse in regards to stress, and we were talking about, you know, the stress loop and all that. I love this verse because when I was listening to it, when it says leave room for the wrath of God, okay, I have this mental picture of being at the target range, okay, with, you know, like an archery range where you've got the big, huge round target set up down there at the end, okay, and that target down there is the person who's done you wrong. Well, you know, I'm just immediately sitting there thinking, okay, I've got this bow and arrow, okay, and I'm going to get up closer so I can get them good. Well, the point is, God's standing behind me with a bazooka, right? And all I'm doing is getting in the way. Leave room for the wrath of God. Let him handle it. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. Okay. Listen, you do not want to get in the way. You don't have to worry about whether it's going to be taken care of or not. Okay? No matter what you think of the situation. Listen, I know I've said this before because, you know, I'll take this principle and I'll say, okay, never pay back evil for anyone. You know, even in this situation that this guy did this to me, the Bible says never take your own revenge, never pay back evil for evil, never. Okay, I'm doing it. Well, you know, about a week later, or maybe 10 minutes later, okay, I'll say, okay, God, I've turned it over to you. Let's see it. Okay, where's that bazooka? Okay, I mean now, okay, God, it's time. Okay, get this person back. Okay, listen, I turned it over to you, and you've done nothing. This person is prospering, okay, and has the perfectly happy everything going on. Okay, where is your vengeance? Well, listen, just because it wasn't carried out in the manner, and I always have a specific manner that I want God to take care of it in, right? And the timing, which usually when I turn it over to God, it's like, okay, God, it's yours. Okay, what have you done? Okay, it's about that quick. But listen, you know, and I heard this guy talking about this. It was actually Pete Daughtry. That's, y'all know him. But Pete says, what you're doing, okay, when you look back and say, okay, God, did you take care of this the way I thought you should? Okay, is you've taken this and you've tied a rope on it and you've tossed it to God. You say, okay, God, here you go. Here's the problem. Here's your vengeance. Here's what this person did to me. Okay, now, if I'm not satisfied, I still got a hold of this rope. Okay? You hadn't really turned it over. Okay? You keep holding on to it. Listen, never, you know, we could do a Greek word study if you want to. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, never means never. Never take your own revenge. Get out of God's way. Because revenge belongs to him. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Okay? Stand back. Okay? Because, you know, if you're taking notes, this is something you want to write down. Okay? People are cruel. People are selfish. Okay? People will do things to you that hurt you. They will do them with malice aforethought. They will do them intentionally. Okay? They will do things to you that will hurt. You will be a completely innocent victim. Okay? It will happen. Okay? And if you share this with your friends or share this with anybody you know, okay, those people will tell you that you have, you know what? I can't believe she did that to you either. You know what? You have every right to be angry. But you know what? Their time's coming. Listen, it'll come up. You'll have a chance to get them back. Right? Sound familiar? Okay, listen, if friends don't tell me that, it's the way I can think myself. I'll get a chance. Okay, but people will tell you that. They'll say, listen, you've got every right. I can't believe it. You need to be madder about this. Okay. But listen, when you hold on to those wounds, to those wrongs, to those things people have done to you, okay, all you're doing is reliving the hurt over and over again. Okay, when somebody does something mean to you and you continue to dwell on it and think about it, Okay, every time you remember it, okay, you're putting it back in your brain. Okay, it hurts again, doesn't it? Oh gosh, I remember how this person did me wrong. Why? Okay, what's the good of it? Change your thinking. Go look at Philippians 4. One of my favorite chapters. Verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Where he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, again, first class conditional, there is. If there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, which there is, dwell on these things. Okay. Well, let your mind dwell on the positive, right? So what's the guy's name? Is that Norman Vincent Peale? Power of positive thinking, right? Okay, listen, it's true. Okay, it's Philippians 4:8. Listen, resentment and anger, okay, it always hurts you more than it does the person you're angry at. Always. Listen, they have shafted you, they've forgotten about it, and they've just gone on. Okay, you cannot hurt them with your anger. Hey, listen, they weren't worried about what you were thinking beforehand, right? Why are they going to be worried about it now? All you've done is hurt yourself. And somebody who has hurt you in the past cannot continue to hurt you unless you hold on to it and stay mad and be resentful of that person. Hey, that's the only way it can keep hurting you. So put it out of your thinking. The same thing applies here, forgetting what lies behind. Okay? Never pay back evil for evil. Okay? Never take your own revenge. Okay? Leave room for the wrath of God because you're only hurting yourself. An angry person, a resentful person, okay, is absolutely not accomplishing the will of God for their life. Okay? You're out of it. All right, Job 5:2, I like this one. It says, for anger slays the foolish man. Okay, you've seen it. You know somebody that's just, you know, they're eaten up or driven by anger and resentment. Okay, and listen, it may be a situation where somebody really did something wrong to them. Right, well, I'm going to tell you, that person has moved on. It's only the one who stays angry who's hurt. Okay? Because think about it. You know, if you've done something wrong to somebody, okay, as a believer, okay, and let's say you realize, ooh, you know what? I should not have said that to that person. Okay? You know, that probably really hurt the person I was saying that about. Okay, God, you know, forgive me for that. That was wrong. Okay? We don't have any more guilt, right? Okay, we realize we're putting it in the past. All our sins are forgiven. Okay, listen, we're moving on. Right, listen, most of the people who hurt you, not that they're thinking the right way, but in one way or another, they moved on. Okay, you're only hurting yourself. Okay, it's sad. When you see somebody like this, you know, I think about that poor Emily Thorne. Nobody else watches it, do they? Y'all don't watch that trash. I know. I knew her name. How scary is that? Okay. Holding on to the past. Okay. When you could be getting on with it. Okay. So lay it all aside. It's not worth it. Okay. It's not worth it to only hurt yourself and keep yourself out of God's plan. Okay. Because, you know, like we talked about last time, you know, like every movie you see, you know, anger is a bad driver. Okay, anger is not going to drive you to the airport. You're going to get in the car with anger, Okay? The car's going to take off. You're going to say, this is not the way to the airport. And anger's going to drive you off a bridge. Okay? Because this is not the way to get to God's plan. All right? All right, another thing. Let's go to Hebrews 2. I'll give you a preview of this one since it's kind of late. Because we get to look at two of my favorite stories with the next one. Okay? Another thing that drives people, okay, that controls people, that drives them away from the airport, that takes them away from God's plan, okay, is the principle of fear. Okay, now listen, the guy I was listening to just did a 14-week series on fear, but we're not going to do that, I promise. Okay? But listen, fear, there can be any level of fear here, from an absolute all-out panic. Okay, where you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, with your hands in there screaming. Okay, to a simple worry. Okay, because listen, don't fool yourself into thinking, well, I'm just a little bit worried about this. Okay, it's no different. Okay, it's a level of fear, okay, that is a lack of faith. Okay, the same principles apply whether you're running around in circles or you're sitting there worrying and fretting about something. Okay, go to Hebrews 2. Did I say that? You know, fear is a self-imposed prison. Okay, and listen, I'll substitute and I'll go back and forth between fear and worry because it's all the same thing. Fear, worry, panic, apprehension, consternation. I had to look that one. I like that word. Okay, the getting completely so wrapped up in your problems that you can't do anything. Okay, Hebrews 2:14 says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their life. Listen, what does fear do for you? What does worry do for you? Okay, it puts you in slavery. Okay, and listen, fear, make no mistake about it, fear is a mental attitude sin. Okay, it can be panic and a danger, you know, as you're on an airplane and the airplane's going straight down, it can be a panic right then. Okay, it could be emotional distress aroused by impending pain or disaster. I like that definition. Okay, it could be a fear of something imagined, or it could be a fear of something real. Okay, listen, and I like this, that word worry, which is a big part of fear, okay, the word comes from a word meaning to choke or strangle. How appropriate is that? Okay. Because listen, that's exactly what it does. It strangles you. It chokes you. Okay. It cuts you off from the plan of God. Okay, it can make you run away. It can make you hide it. But it is going to keep you from accomplishing God's will. There ain't any question about it. Okay. You can't be doing both. Because listen, fear makes you irrational. Okay. You cannot think rationally and logically when you are fearful. Okay? It induces that panic, that crazy, I can't believe I did that. What am I going to do? Okay? You cannot think logically. And, you know, as a believer, we should all have discovered this principle already. All right? But when you face your fear, okay, and say, oh, I'm really worried about this, I'm really scared about this, I don't know how this is going to go, this is something that's coming up, I don't know. You know, and I'll have it with a phone call I have to return. Sometimes I'm like, God, you know, this is going to be bad. What are they going to say? What are they going to want? Okay, and you call them back, and it's like, you know, it just wasn't that big a deal. Okay, listen, it was nothing like I imagined it to be because I started off with a little worry about it. It grew. It'll consume you. You know, and this is my favorite thing to say related to fear, you know, and related to worry. How many times have you gone through something that, you know, you had something coming up that you were sure it wasn't going to be pleasant. Let's just put it that way. Okay, you were sure this was going to be a really bad thing. This is something I really do not want to go to. Okay, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't want to do, you know, it's just, you know, how many times have you done the thing that you were worried about? Okay, and look back the next day and said, gosh, I really wish I'd worried more about this. Okay? Never! So all you're doing when you worry about it is making yourself miserable for longer. You see? You know, fear is simply a lack of faith. It's a failure to apply the things we've learned in here to your situation. Okay? And well, look, there's a lot of different ways to think about it. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect or mature love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. So the more mature you get, the more matured you get in this attitude of love, in this virtue love, agape love it's talking about, the less you're going to worry. The less you're going to be fearful of. Hey, it comes down to, do you trust God or not? Okay, is what He says true or is it not? Listen, when you look at a situation and you start to worry about it, okay, what you're doing is not having faith. Right? Has God always, you know, let's go through our rationale here. Does God know everything? Yeah. Okay. Is He surprised at this situation that I have coming up? Not at all. Okay. Does He have the power to do anything He wants to about this situation? Yep. Okay. Does He love me? Without a doubt. Does He have my best interest in mind? Yeah. Well, then what am I worried about? Are all those things true or are they not? Listen, Romans 14:23, the B part, says, whatever is not from faith is sin. So when you're scared, when you're fearful, when you're apprehensive, when you're worried, it is a lack of faith. And when you're thinking that way, you are not accomplishing God's will. Okay? Without question. And let me tell you, you know, I'll stand up here and say this. This is not always how I act. Okay? This is what the Word of God says, not Mal leading by example. I wish I could. Okay? But it's just not that thing. You have to apply the things we know about God to these situations. So that's why He puts you in these situations. Okay, that's why He lets things come up that would seem to be worrisome. Okay, He lets you go into situations and look at the situation and say, I'm really worried about what's going to happen with blah, blah, blah. Well, listen, He wants to continue to put you in those situations so that you can have faith. Okay, so that you can say, wait a minute. Okay, here comes the worry. Stop. Stop right here. I know who God is. I know how He feels about me. I know what He can do. Okay, if He hadn't gotten rid of this situation, then He wants me to go through it. Okay, and I'm going to trust Him that He has a reason for it. Okay. Well, I got a lot more on this, but we'll talk about it next week. Anybody got any questions?
Long you wait for God to fire the
zipper. I don't know. I got some situations I'm still waiting on. You know, you got to let go of the rope. He's probably, you know, you think about it, that's probably what He's doing. He's probably thinking, you know, he says He's gotten out of the way, but if I shoot now, I'm going to hit that rope He's holding on to and pull him right down into the target too. So maybe that's part of my problem. I don't know. Oh, well, let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for your words regarding these distractions that come up. Help us to recognize them when they come, to have the ability to put them aside, to put them behind us, to trust in you and in your character. Help us to continue to remember these things so that we can accomplish your will for our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
That's a good lesson.
Yes, it was.
Thank you. It is.
It was good.